Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Judges, and we're on chapter 12. And there are 15 verses in chapter 12. Let's all go up to the throne to ask the Lord to anoint this chapter. Father, there are more than two of us here gathered together in your name. Many more. And therefore, we know that your word is true and your promises are true. You said, where as many as two or more are gathered in my name, there am I also. And we know that you dwell within us as well. But Lord, we're asking that you anoint your words. We know that the word killeth, but the spirit combined with the word and in the word bringeth forth life, and therefore we ask, Lord, that you anoint the commentary, the reading of your word, and the commentary, and that you open up everyone's spiritual ears, that open up our spiritual mind, so that our mind receives the same amount of the life, your precious life, as our spirit does. Satan is attacking our mind 24 hours a day. And this is where we war. We're to pull down the strongholds of our minds, because this is where Satan sets up his strongholds. Pull it down and make our minds subject unto the Spirit, the Word of God. This way our spirit will be secure. If we do it continuously throughout every day, one day at a time. Therefore, Lord, we know that you're going to answer us, because we've asked it in the name of Jesus, and everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right, this is chapter 12, Judges, verse 1.
The fight that both Ephraim and Jephthah had. King James Version, verse 1. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together, and went northward, and said unto Jephthah, Wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. Verse 2. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon, and when I called you, ye delivered me not out of their hand. Verse 3, And when I saw that ye delivered me not, I put my life in my hands, and passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are ye come up unto me this day to fight against me? Verse 4, Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead, and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim, because they said, Ye Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. Verse 5. And the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan before the Ephraimites. And it was so that when those Ephraimites which were escaped said, Let me go over, that the men of Gilead said unto him, Art thou an Ephraimite? If he said, Nay. Verse 6. Then said they unto him, Say now Shibboleth. And he said, Sibboleth, for he could not frame to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him at the passages of Jordan. And there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000.
And they discerned that's who they were, because of the way they pronounced the word. That's amazing, their diction. All right, go ahead. Let's go into the translation.
Translation verse 1 through 6. The fight that both Ephraim and Jephthah had. Then the tribe of Ephraim mobilized its army and crossed over to Zaphon. They sent this message to Jephthah, quote, Why didn't you call for us to help you fight against Ammon? We are going to burn down your house with you in it! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 2, I summoned you at the beginning of the dispute, but you refused to come! Exclamation mark, unquote, Jephthah said. quote, you fail to help us in our struggle against Ammon. Verse 3, so I risked my life and went to battle without you, and the Lord gave me victory over the Ammonites. So why have you come to fight me? Unquote. Verse 4, the leaders of Ephraim responded, quote, the men of Gilead are nothing more than rejects from Ephraim and Manasseh. Unquote. So Jephthah called out his army and attacked the men of Ephraim and defeated them. Verse 5, Jephthah captured the shallows of the Jordan, and whenever a fugitive from Ephraim tried to go back across, the men of Gilead would challenge him, quote, are you a member of the tribe of Ephraim? Unquote, they would ask. If the man said, quote, no, I'm not, unquote. Verse 6, they would tell him to say, Shibboleth. If he was from Ephraim, he would say, Sibboleth, because people from Ephraim cannot pronounce the word correctly. Then they would take him and kill him at the shallows of the Jordan River. So 42,000 Ephraimites were killed at that time. King James Version, verse 7. And Jephthah judged Israel 6 years. Then died Jephthah the Gileadite and was buried in one of the cities of Gilead. Verse 8. And after him Ibzan of Bethlehem judged Israel. Verse 9. And he had 30 sons and 30 daughters, whom he sent abroad, and took in 30 daughters from abroad for his sons. And he judged Israel 7 years. Verse 10. Then died Ibzan, and was buried at Bethlehem. Verse 11. And after him Elon, a Zebulunite, judged Israel. And he judged Israel 10 years. Translation, verse 7 through 11. Jephthah was Israel's judge for 6 years. When he died, he was buried in one of the towns of Gilead. Ibzan becomes Israel's judge. Verse 8. After Jephthah, Ibzan became Israel's judge. He lived in Bethlehem. Verse 9. And he had 30 sons and 30 daughters. He married his daughters to men outside his clan, and brought in 30 young women from outside his clan to marry his sons. Ibzan judged Israel for 7 years. Verse 10. When he died, he was buried at Bethlehem. Elon becoming Israel's judge. Verse 11. After him, Elon from Zebulun became Israel's judge. He judged Israel for 10 years. King James Version, verse 12. And Elon the Zebulunite died and was buried in Ajalon, in the country of Zebulun. Verse 13. And after him, Abdon, the son of Hillel, a Pirathonite, judged Israel. Verse 14. And he had 40 sons and 30 nephews that rode on 70 ass colts, and he judged Israel 8 years. Verse 15. And Abdon, the son of Hillel, the Pirathonite, died and was buried in Pirathon in the land of Ephraim, in the mount of the Amalekites. Translation, verse 12 through 15. When he died, he was buried at Ajalon in Zebulun. Abdon becomes Israel's judge. Verse 13. After Elon died, Abdon, son of Hillel, from Pirathon, became Israel's judge. Verse 14. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons who rode on 70 donkeys. He was Israel's judge for 8 years. Verse 15. Then he died and was buried at Pirathon in Ephraim in the hill country of the Amalekites.
All right. That was the 15 verses in chapter 12 of Judges, and now we got quite a bit of commentary.
12, verse 1 through 7. Jephthah entered into a conflict with the Ephraimites, which resulted in the deaths of 42,000 Ephraimite people. The war may have been started because Ephraim was angry that Jephthah had not invited them to fight. This is what it says, against the Ammonites, verse 1, or because Ephraim had insulted the Gileadites, verse 4. 12, verse 1. Zaphon was situated east of the Jordan River, in the territory of the tribe of Gad. 12 verse 2 through 3. Jephthah tried at first to use diplomacy with the Ephraimites. Although there's no record of an invitation to join with him in the battle, it was that the Ephraimites were too headstrong for Jephthah to even ask them to sit down. Jephthah stated that he had called them, verse 2. When they did not respond, he proceeded to fight with the Ammonites without them, verse 3. 12, verse 4. You Gileads are fugitives. The meaning of this taunt is because they were that way in their thinking. This insult, however, appears to have provoked the ensuing war between the Gileadites and the Ephraimites. 12, verse 6. Quote, shibboleth, unquote, is a term meaning either, quote, ear of grain, unquote, or, quote, flowing stream, unquote. The Gileadites used the pronunciation of this word to recognize the fleeing Ephraimites at the fords of the Jordan. The Ephraimites, having a different dialect, pronounced this word with a soft S sound rather than a stronger sh sound. 12 verse 8 through 13. Three minor judges followed Jephthah. 12 verse 8. Ibzan of Bethlehem may have been from earlier Bethlehem in Judea or Bethlehem in Zebulun. Joshua chapter 19 verse 15. His large family indicates that he was a man of wealth and high status in the clan and that he had many wives. His seeking wives for his sons outside the clan suggests that he was a man of influence and high esteem in surrounding regions. Verse 9. 12 verse 15. Abdon was a relative of Perathon in Ephraim, situated 7 miles southwest of Shechem. His large family and 70 donkeys, verse 14, suggests that he was a man of wealth and that he had many wives and was a man of prominence. 12 verse 1 through 7. This tragic incident is in many ways a replay of Gideon's confrontation with the angry Ephraimites in Judges chapter 8, verse 1 through 3. The outcome, however, is very different because of the way Jephthah mishandled the situation. Instead of the humble self-control and patience shown by Gideon, Jephthah responded in angry pride. As a result, war erupted between Gilead and Ephraim, and the two tribes were unable to enjoy a relationship like the one forged with Ephraim by Gideon. 12 verse 8 through 15. The brief mention of the leadership of Ibzan, Elon, and Abdon might be taken to mean that they were less significant judges. However, each of them actually ruled longer than Jephthah. Ibzan 7 years, Elon 10 years, and Abdon 8 years. Apparently, events during their terms of leadership were not as tumultuous. The point is that people should not base their self-worth or sense of accomplishment on whether or not they, quote, make the headlines, unquote.
You know, I did, that commentary several months ago, and I did some new commentary. Is this the beginning of the new one that I just did today?
Yes.
All right.
Jephthah's victory. The Ephraimites mobilized an army because they were angry at not being included in the battle against Ammon. They planned to attack Jephthah at his home in Gilgal. Jephthah captured the fords of the Jordan at the Jabbok River and killed the Ephraimites who tried to cross. So Israel had just won a great battle. But instead of joy, there was pettiness and quarreling. The tribe of Ephraim was angry and jealous that they were not invited to join in the fighting, although Jephthah said he had invited them. The insults of the Ephraimites enraged Jephthah, who called out his troops and killed 42,000 men from Ephraim. Jephthah usually spoke before he acted, but this time he was so enraged, the revenge was swift. It cost Israel dearly. It might have been avoided. Insulting others and being jealous are not wise responses when we feel left out. But seeking revenge for an insult is just as wrong and very costly. But in this particular case, they stated that they would kill him, and so he was, I believe, without a doubt, justified. 12 verse 4 through 7. The men of the tribe of Ephraim caused Jephthah trouble, just as they had Gideon. Chapter 8, verse 1 through 3. Jephthah captured the fjords of the Jordan, the boundary of Ephraim, and was able to defeat his countrymen as they crossed the river. He used the pronunciation test. Shibboleth is the word for stream. The Ephraimites pronounced SH as S, so Jephthah's army could easily identify them. 12, verse 8 through 15. There is little else known about these three judges or their importance. A large number of children and cattle are an indication of the wealth of these men.
Well, praise the Lord, that was chapter 12 of Judges, 15 verses, and a lot of commentary. And we learned not to insult people, to use diplomacy, and not be so, don't give false accusations. Amen.
Yeah.
42,000 people could be killed. Don't make waves, in other words, all right? And until chapter 13, keep praying, pray without ceasing, stay in the Holy Spirit. Remember that you're members of the body of Christ and that there's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. So walk in the Spirit until for the rest of this day, and then tomorrow we'll worry about that when it comes. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you and praise the Lord.